Sing unto the Lord a new song. I did, but you said we learned it. I didn't learn it. I'd be scared to sing it again. Thank you all for being here. I want to give the Baskins and Tina Templeton and Margie, if she happens to be on TV with live stream, and anybody watching live streaming, hey today, and God bless you. And all of you, thank you for being here. We appreciate your faithfulness. Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. Good to see Michael back with the allergy issues. And Margie's on vacation with her daughter, Hilton Head. Maybe it'll dry up down there and they get a nice pretty afternoon anyway. And it's good to see each of you here this morning. We thank you for coming. Thank you for your faithfulness. We are... Hannah's back with us. We prayed for her on Wednesday night. There's been a lot of colds and allergy season starting with people. And when I woke up this morning, I washed my face, and my eyes were so red, like a drunk man or something, you know, from rubbing them, I guess, you know, even when I was sleeping. But I take one of those allergy pills and that stuff up your nose, and it's the off-brand for Nasonex. And that keeps me going. Revelation chapter 1, we'll begin with verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be... I'm in Romans. I was just checking to see if y'all had the right place. That's what you call a lie. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass... And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. From him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Then look down at verse number 11. He repeats that definition of himself, verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And then he lists those seven churches in their cities. Let us pray. Father, we are in this 40 days of prayer for spiritual renewal coming up to both Easter and our revival in April the 23rd through the 26th. And we're asking you to meet with us and cleanse us and draw us close to yourself and reveal to us if there be any wicked way within us that we might confess it and repent of it and turn again to walk with you in closeness. Father, we need cleansing that we can draw close to you and follow you in the walk of righteousness. Help us to do that. And we ask you to bless these people today for their faithfulness. And we ask you, Lord, to intervene in our church that we might truly seek a reviving of thy spirit within us. And as we do, we look to you to fill the evangelist with thy spirit and that he'll bring messages prepared that will stir our hearts afresh and new. And for this, we offer you praise and thanks and adoration in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 8 and verse 11. The New Testament reveals the things that were prophesied in the Old Testament. Revelation explains the day of the Lord, the day of judgment that is coming. You notice two times he made a reference to time. Verse 1, he said things which must shortly come to pass. Verse 3, he said, for the time is at hand. So we're looking for the Lord's fixed age to come. When Christ was born into this world, Israel had waited 4,000 years for the Messiah to come. And the Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, in the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. There was a time that God would begin the process, that Christ would go to the cross, die for our sins, rise again from the dead. And God waited to that specific time in history for Christ to come. And there's a specific time when Christ will call us to heaven, and then the tribulation will last 7 years, the Bible says, in two different places. And then at the end of that 7 years, verse 7 says, Christ will come back in the clouds. He'll return to this earth, and Israel and those who pierced Him will see Him, and every eye shall see Him in that day. So this book reveals the future and what must shortly come to pass. In Genesis, mankind's beginning was in a paradise. God planted a garden. It was beautiful. Everything was there natural for it. It watered itself by the mist of the earth, like what we call dew today. God watered it in that way. There was no rain, no storms, no trouble, no trials, no briars and weeds and all that sort of thing. But Revelation shows us that those who lost paradise because of their sin, mankind will regain paradise in Revelation when we go to be with the Lord. Revelation shows the paradise to come for believers is a new heaven and a new earth where we will dwell with Him forever and forever. In Genesis 3, man was forbidden to eat of the tree of life because he sinned. In Genesis 3, 22 through 24. In Revelation 22 and verse 20, the Bible says, in the future we'll see the tree of life and man will eat of it and it'll produce 12 manner of fruit and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. In Genesis 3, 4, man disobeyed God motivated by Satan's temptation. In Revelation chapter 20, the Bible reveals the day of His judgment is coming. Satan will be cast into the lake of fire, tormented forever and forever. In Genesis, it reveals the stories of the first murder, of the first drunken man, of the first rebellion of man against God. In Revelation 21, 27, in the city of God, there'll be nothing impure or shameful or deceitful that will enter in. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know today your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you've truly been saved, when you got saved, your name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Genesis, it reveals all the tragedies and sorrows that were caused because of sin and the judgment that God in His wrath poured out upon the earth in the Genesis flood that covered the world and destroyed all but Noah and his family. In Revelation 21, 4, the time in the future when God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes of man, and there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, for the former things will have passed away. Genesis records for us the first death. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, Abel was one who honored God with his offerings, and his brother killed him out of jealousy, no doubt. Romans 6:23 says, because of that, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation 21:4, the Bible says, no more death. Amen. No more death. No more separation. No more grieving over loved ones departed. No more death. In Genesis 3:15 through 18, there was a curse put upon the earth for man's sake. And man began to deal with a cursed earth, and we're still living in that sin-cursed earth. Revelation 22:3 says there'll be no more curse. The curse will be lifted. In Genesis, it reveals Satan, who is Lucifer, the tempter of man. In Revelation 20:10, his final doom. And sadly, the place where all unbelievers will go in the lake of fire. Now back in Revelation 1, and beginning with verse 1 through 8, Revelation is defined the apocalypse. That word is used in the Greek language, translated as revealed or revelation. It means to unveil or to reveal. It occurs 18 times in the New Testament. This book of the Bible reveals the glorified, risen Christ and His plan for what will happen in the future. It is to show His servants, the Scripture says, things which must shortly come to pass. There is a fixed position that God is waiting for the day for this to be instituted, and it will happen. In verse 3, it says, "For the time is at hand." Time there is not the normal word for time, chronos, where we get chronology. It is the word kairos. It means an epoch of time. The last period of time God has for man is ready to come. One day, I don't know what it'll take. The last person that gets saved in the church, I don't know what it is. Christ will call us to heaven to be with Him forevermore, and then will begin the day of the Lord, that final time of God's judgment. Now, this is addressed to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Today, the country of Turkey houses most of that territory that was called Asia Minor in that day. And many of these cities where these churches were are still there today, and some of them still have, you know, a few Christian people meeting together in church services. He said, "Write to them greetings, grace and peace from God our Father, eternally God, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead." First one to rise with a glorified body and ascend back to the Father. "He is the prince of the kings of the earth." That means ruler. Christ is the ruler of all kings. In Revelation 19, He'll come again to this earth. And when He comes as King of kings and Lord of lords, who is the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and made us to be kings and priests. Those who believe in Him, God will make us to be rulers and ministers in the future for the kingdom and for the new heaven and the new earth. God and His Father, behold, verse 7 says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen." This is the aspect of what is called the second coming of Christ, or the second advent of Christ. That comes because, first, Christ will come for the church. All the saved of earth will be called to heaven to meet Him in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. "And we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord." But at the end of the tribulation, Christ will return to this earth. "And the mountains shall split. And Christ will come and fight the battle of Armageddon and judge the earth." Jesus reveals Himself in verse 8. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." This is the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. History is his story. Everything in the Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his people, about him setting up a nation, about bringing faith instead of law, and dying on the cross and rising again from the dead. He describes himself as the Almighty, the Sovereign, the absolute ruler of all. Pantocrator is the Greek word. We've seen Jesus as the great I Am in Scripture. He's the total of everything that history has to reveal to us from beginning to end. We would say A to Z would be the same thing as Alpha and Omega. Christ is eternally the faithful witness, revealing he created all things and all things are made by him, and he reveals them to us. He revealed to his disciples the name by which they were to call God, a name for believers only, and that name is Father. The name Abba from the Greek, a personal name, an intimate name, a loving name that warms the heart when we address our Father. In Isaiah 53, he describes what is revealed as the awful results of sin and the payment that was made through Calvary's cross. Christ was put on trial. He was accused by false witnesses. The penalties were invoked upon him of beatings and mockings and keeping him up all night. And then they put the crown of thorns into his brow. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails. And they crucified him. And he suffered all of that willingly for you and for me. Reveals the need of righteousness by faith. It reveals the warning of judgment that is to come, of hell now and the lake of fire in the future. Reveals the news of salvation and how we can be born again unto God by faith, not by works that we must do. God's motive of love to substitute Christ for sinful man is revealed in the New Testament. And we can receive him by faith, and redemption takes place. His sacrifice is applied to you and to me when we believe on Christ by faith. He paid the price for my sins, and he paid the price for your sins. It reveals to us that Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. Revelation 1:18, I'll read for you. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Christ died, and he holds the keys of hell and death. Now, this book reveals to us the future of what's going to take place. John was to write of things past, things in his present, and then things which are to come. I have a big book in my library. It's called Things to Come. It's all about biblical prophecy. He reveals the second coming in chapter 1 in verse number 7 that Christ will visibly return to this world and plant his feet on the Mount of Olives, the scriptures tell us. That is his second coming. But before that, he will call believers to heaven. He will come out from heaven out into the clouds. He will call us up. There'll be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. There'll be the shout. And we will rise to meet the Lord. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. But that's not the end for unbelievers. They're all left behind. I don't like to be left behind. Do you? I was a kid at Ebonport Elementary School. When I was a kid, Ebonport had 8 grades. You went through first through the 8th, you graduated from the 8th grade, and you went to high school, 9, 10, 11, 12. Before I ever got to the sixth grade, they had changed it and started junior highs, Sullivan, and that kind of thing. I don't know what grade I was in, third, fourth grade, something like that, and I was around the edge of the building watching the bigger boys, seventh and eighth grade, playing football. And I was watching them play football. And our buses would come. I looked down there, and there was a sea of people bigger than this waiting on their buses to get on the bus to go home. I looked down there plenty of time, and all them people waiting. I'm watching a football game, and I got caught up in it, you know. And all of a sudden, there was a feeling that came over me. Oh, no, I didn't get left, did I? And I turn around and look. There's not a bus. There's not a person. Parking lot's completely empty. They're all gone. I thought I'd hear it. I thought I'd be ready, but I wasn't ready. And I got left. Now, I didn't like that. I lived about, 6-7 miles at the most from the school. But for a kid, I thought that was like 20 miles. I was going to have to walk home, you know. And one of the guys playing football happened to be a neighbor. And so he said, stay and wait with me, and my parents come and pick me up. We'll take you home. Because somebody intervened, I got reprieved. But let me tell you, when Jesus calls us to heaven to be with him forevermore, you don't need to wait. You don't need to hope you'll be ready. You need to get ready now and be looking for his coming. Titus tells us we should be longing for his coming, and we should be ready for his coming to be caught up to meet him in the air. Revelation 1:7 tells about at the end time Christ will return. In Revelation 19, he will come out of heaven on a white horse with his armies of angelic powers and with believers who have been in heaven with him. We're coming back to this earth because after he brings judgment, he's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20. I believe it's verse number 6. Now this is the fourth point in my message. We're down to verse 8 again. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Over in 1 Timothy 1, in verse number 12, Paul reveals his personal testimony of salvation and how Jesus came to save sinners. He said, of whom I am chief. In 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry, who before was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ has revealed himself to sinful man. Paul considered himself the chiefest of sinners because he persecuted the Christians before he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He is the Almighty, the first and the last. He has all knowledge. He has all power. He has all authority. He is ever present in all places at all times. He is with us, and he will call us unto himself and present us to himself cleansed of our sins. If you want to look with me at Colossians chapter 1, I'll read a very lengthy passage. Colossians 1 and verse 9. Colossians 1, 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, made us acceptable, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That means first place. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Thank God if you're saved today. He has reconciled us unto himself, regardless of our past, regardless of how we were. God has saved us and cleansed us and accepted us. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard and which has preached to you, every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We have heard the gospel message, and most of us have responded by faith to believe in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection to save us from our sins, to rescue us, to deliver us from the wrath that is to come. Now we've been saved because God loved us, because we believed the message of Jesus Christ. Reveals to us in Revelation that the wrath of God's destruction, what is called the day of the Lord, will come. In 2 Peter 3, the Bible describes the day of the Lord. And the book of Revelation gives us all the details of the terrible judgment that will come upon the earth upon those who have not believed on the Lord. In verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Conversation there referring to lifestyle, manner of living, and godliness. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So from Revelation 6 through 19, those horrible events of the wrath of God being poured out are described in Revelation. And then in chapter 20, those unbelievers and Satan and the false prophet and the Antichrist will be cast into the lake of fire. The wrath of God poured out. But Christ loves us and gave himself for us that we can be delivered from the wrath to come. He is the Almighty. He is the ruler of all power. He is sovereign. He has offered to you salvation to escape the wrath to come. Remember, Revelation 1 says these things must shortly come to pass. These things are the times at hand. They are ready for the day when God says, today's the day. He tells the Lord Jesus Christ, go and call your people home. And he steps out of heaven and the rapture takes place. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16 says, the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive remain shall be caught up. That's where the word rapture comes from. In the Latin translation, that expression caught up is a forcible seizure. It is the word rapturo. People say rapture is not in the Bible. It is from the Latin translation of that passage. And that's what rapture means. Christ will deliver us from this present evil world. He's already delivered your soul if you're a believer. But he's also going to deliver your body one day. Thank God. Now, if you don't know Christ, you sit in danger. You need to be saved. You need to know the Lord. You need to know him now. And we offer you an opportunity that we'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved before you leave this place. God's dealing with your heart about a decision that needs to be made, or maybe you want to come and pray for somebody. We should be very reminded, my friend, I'm saved, thank God, I don't have anything to worry about. Oh, wait a minute. What about all my neighbors? What about all my relatives? What about all my friends? If I don't speak up now, they may not have another witness. I've got a responsibility and you've got a responsibility. Let's be faithful to fulfill it. Let's stand together and the music will play. Father, bless this congregation of people watching on live streaming and here among us. Deal with us by your Spirit. Call those who need to be saved, Lord, that we might show them from the Word of God how to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us today. We give you praise and thanks in it all. In Jesus' name, amen.